Welcome into the Live Rewind podcast, where players and coaches join DP in the garage to talk about a memorable game from their career. They sit down to watch the highlights from Channel 1450 and talk about the game. In this episode, Eisenhower Sr. RJ Walker talks about the 2020 CS8 basketball game between the Panthers and Southeast. This podcast is brought to you by Country Financial. They are a big supporter of Channel 1450 and the Live Rewind podcast. They do so much for the community, especially during this time. For college scholarships for local students, to donations to COVID-19 response funds. If you are looking for insurance, whether it's for your car, home, or life insurance, make sure you check out Country Financial.
I'm RJ Walker. We're watching Live Rewind, and we're going to watch the Southeast game from last season.
CSA hoops this Friday night at Southeast. Spartans hoping the third time would be the charm against the Panthers of Eisenhower. These two met twice earlier in the season, and it came out to be two Eisenhower wins. Let's get right to the action. First quarter, James Dent feeling it from three. Spartans would lead 8-3 early. Cam Rowe would help the Panthers fight back. The nice spin and the jumper would fall. Panthers would be down three, but Dent would stay hot from behind the arc with 5:24 left in the first. He stares his man down and hits another three. James had 15 in the first half.
Well, James always comes to Decatur and kicks with me like every weekend. So we always talk about this season and this game in particular, because, you know, he had 15 in the first half. And he always talks about, man, we would have won if I would have scored in the second half. I was like, why didn't you? He was like, my stomach got to hurt and I didn't have any Tums. And I was like, you tripping, bro.
What's it like to kind of have that relationship off the court with somebody, and then, you know, like, you know, certain times you have to turn that off and just play against him?
Yeah, it's cool to have guys. Like, I'm friends with, like, at least one or two players on basically each team in the conference, because we all played on that Phenom team this year. Mm-hmm. So we all close, but we all know when to, like, kick it, turn it off and stuff, and play hard against each other. So
the fact that you already played them twice and beat them twice, I mean, coming to this game, was it any different knowing that you got to play them at their gym?
Oh, I knew it was going to be hard because of my eighth grade year when Eisenhower played Mount Zion. Like, ever since then, I knew it was hard to beat a team three times in a row. So coming into that, I knew it was going to be a dogfight.
What about that gym? Is that gym any different than any ones that you guys playing in the CSA?
I like this gym, actually. I like the setup, how it's like a dome kind of, so I don't mind it. I like playing at Southeast.
What did you guys kind of do to try to stop James?
Honestly, I don't remember. I think, all right, so we were running a zone that game, actually, and like whatever side James was on, we had that guy just kind of shadow him and watch him make the other guy shoot. So I think that's what we did that game.
And shut him down in the second half, right?
Yeah.
To close out the quarter, Brylan Phillips with RJ Walker, the tough move under the basket. Southeast would take a 19-16 lead after one quarter in the second with 4:04 remaining. Dent would come up with the loose ball and find Terrence Harris for the land. Spartans would lead by 4, 25-21. They would extend it to 8 with 2:21 left to play. Abdur Muhammad comes up with the miss. And if at first you don't succeed, try again. He gets the layup to go. Spartans would be in control. And to close out the first half, Brylan Phillips, so tough on the break. He goes coast to coast, the Euro step, lay-in works, and the foul. Spartans would still lead at the half, 32-28 in the third quarter. The Panthers would take a lead thanks to RJ Walker. That's nothing but net. They would lead 38-34 with just under 5.
I remember that. I believe I hit like 1-3 before, so I was feeling a little good. But then, like, I noticed they were sagging back, and I seen Cam just doing jab steps. So I'm like, that was one of them shots I knew I was going to take, whether they were out there or not. So he just threw it, and I let it go.
Did you guys make any adjustments at halftime, being down 4?
Not for real. We just knew we had to play harder because we were getting our rebound in that first half, and they was just out-hustling us. So we knew we had to just kick it up a notch if we wanted to win.
And that's kind of something that you guys dealt with the last 2-3 years was – you know, having that height disadvantage and having a rebound.
Yeah.
Going into those games like this, I mean, what did you guys talk about, or what was kind of the focus in terms of rebounding?
At the beginning of the year, we were doing pretty good. We were out-rebounding teams, boxing out well. Like, at one point, we were boxing out so good the ball would, like, drop certain times, but I think certain players got lazy and, like, just stopped doing it and leaking out and stuff. So I think this game is when we started back getting together and working on the things that helped us win in the first place.
how many shots did you have to see go down before you start feeling like, man, everything I put up's going in?
It just depends. Sometimes I'm feeling it after that first shot. Sometimes I got to hit at least three to get going. Or sometimes I'm just completely off. It just depends how I'm feeling. And like certain gyms I like shooting on, like certain gyms I can't throw it in the ocean at all, but this gym, I like this gym.
So. What was your confidence like, I mean, after halftime of this game?
I was feeling pretty good. We were down a few points. Me and Cam were carrying the load at this time, so I felt like we were gonna come out and put on a show for sure. And then we got back to shooting at halftime and I was feeling good, so I knew I was gonna let it go second half.
To go, Spartans would tie the game at 40. Cameron Banks, the post moves down low, would be a bucket, but Walker again. This one was from NBA range. Another three for RJ would give the Panthers a 43-42 lead at the end of the third.
I remember this. It was like 40 seconds left on the clock, and I heard Coach Cook. He was like, hold the ball, get the last shot. And I was just feeling good. I don't know why I shot it, but I shot it, man. If I would have missed, I would have been done for. Luckily, it went in.
You guys aren't really a team to hold the ball for too long. I mean, in terms of if you guys see a shot, you're going
to
take it.
Yeah, we like to get our shots up and run. We don't like playing slow offense and slow type of game, so that's what we do a lot.
Third, and in the final quarter, the Panthers would finish strong. Walker to Brylan Phillips would extend the lead to 7. And then with under 2 minutes to go, you got to go to the hot hand. Walker, another three from the corner. He led all scores with 26.
That was another shot I don't know why I took. Because I remember right before Malachi had shot a three, my dad called a timeout and wasted the whole timeout chewing him out for shooting a three in this situation. So I don't know what I must have been like hot because if I would have missed, I would have got the same treatment. Yeah. But luckily it went in, so.
Hey, when you're feeling it, you're feeling it.
Right. Yeah.
And in the closing moments of the game, it's who else but RJ once again, the steal and the lay-in as the Panthers pick up another conference win. They take down Southeast 57-52.
And this was kind of at the point in the year when, I mean, you guys won a lot of the conference games early.
Yeah.
And everybody was just kind of like, oh, you know, they're playing certain teams or whatever. But, I mean, that confidence for you guys just had to keep growing.
Yeah, after we won this game, we were tied in first with Lanphier, and then we were rolling. We had confidence going to that MacArthur game, and then the night before, we had a walkthrough, and that's when I tweaked my foot, mm-hmm. and then I think that's when we sort of discombobulated as a team, and we had to work our way back up. But at this time right here, we were at our peak, I believe.
How good was last year's team? I mean, you've played on a lot of different teams, a lot of good teams. So, I mean, where would you say your guys' ceiling was last year?
I feel like we were one of the best. We could have been one of the best Eisenhower teams for sure because we were on the verge of having a 20-game-plus season and stuff because right here we were at 13, and then when I got hurt, we lost about 6 or 7 straight because I believe, like, if I would have played and stuff, because those games were like 4-point, 5-point games, yeah. I feel like if I could have played, we would have been able to keep rolling and build ourselves up even more going into the playoffs. So,
what is kind of the expectation this year?
Really, I like these guys this year, so you should expect a lot of defense and griminess from us because these guys, they don't get tired, really. They just love to hustle and love to work as a team, and, like, they know their roles, so, like, we ain't gonna do nothing out of character and stuff, so we should be pretty tough this year.
How different is it gonna be playing without Brylan?
It's gonna be real different. I've been playing with him forever, and now I gotta play against him, but I manage. I get used to it. So
that just makes that Eisenhower-Mac game even that much more special this year, right?
Yeah, for sure.
What did you personally work on the most this summer in terms of your game?
I worked on getting stronger in my ball handling for sure, because I play point guard this summer. So, like, I had to make sure my ball handling was more crisp, and that comes with being stronger, too, so I could take certain bumps and stuff without losing the ball. So all that helped me be a better point guard coming into my senior year.
I mean, playing now, this will be your fourth year in the CSA, and playing a lot of minutes, you know how physical it can be. You go to Chatham, you go to those games where, I mean, you got to be tough. And to be able to be a point guard in this league, I mean, it's not just about scoring, right?
Nah, you got to get the whole team going in order to win. You can't just do it by yourself in this conference. It's too many good teams to be able to beat by yourself.
Let's talk about your commitment. You committed to Idaho. What kind of went into that process in terms of committing, you know, before the summer's up?
Well, really, I don't know if we're going to even have a season, so I feel like it was smart for me just to commit now. And if we do have a season now, I could get that weight off my back and just focus on winning and developing as a player and as a team this year. So,
how tough was it to go through the recruiting process this year when things are so different?
Yeah, it was different. They were supposed to fly me out there and go on a visit and stuff, but instead we had to do a Zoom with my family and then all the coaches on the computer, and they had like a virtual tour set up for me, and then they offered me through the computer. So it was different, but it was still pretty cool to receive it.
At what point did you, at what point was D1 a possibility for you?
I say after my sophomore season, mm-hmm. is when coaches started calling my dad and showing a little bit of interest in me. So, yeah.
How cool is that mentally? Just know, that's what every kid wants to do.
Oh, yeah. It's a confidence booster for sure. It just helps you realize, it let me know I got to keep working because I don't want to settle with that. I want to keep going up. So it just let me know that my work's starting to pay off, but I can't settle now just because they're looking at me.
What other schools were involved? What was your kind of interest? Because, Illinois to Idaho is a kind of a jump.
Yeah, it's a jump for sure. Well, schools around here like Western, UIC, and Bradley contacted my dad, and even New Mexico State showed interest in me, but...
I wonder why.
Yeah, right. And then, they talked to my dad, talking about they'd come see me in the season and stuff, but Idaho was just different because, they wanted me. They didn't want nothing about my game to change. They just wanted me badly, so I'd rather go there than have somebody weigh and be a little hesitant come during the season. So,
are you concerned at all about how different Decatur is from a school like Idaho? Or
No, I don't think so. I'm the type of player that could play with anybody. I can adapt to certain things, so I think I should be all right.
How excited are you to just kind of get out and go have that opportunity to move so far away?
I'm excited. I know there's more out there than Decatur, so I just want to be able to explore and go on my journey in life. So.
Talk about a little bit of your motivation going forward, because I know you were close with Coach Dubb and going through that. It's got to be tough to go through that, but at the same time, he's an inspiration.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Dubb actually used to live with us at one point because he was coming back and forth from Chicago before he actually moved to Decatur. And he runs Sky Ice too, so him and my dad were always talking about how I need to keep working. He can't wait to post when I get a D1 offer. So it was a tough week because I know that's all he wanted was for me and Taya Davis to get that D1 offer. So I know he was happy up there, but it still would have been nice if he was here. But now it just makes me work even harder because I know he's watching me.
How much of a loss is that for the Decatur community? That guy just, he cared so much. You talked to him for 30 seconds and you knew that.
It's a huge loss. Everybody knew Doug. Everybody loved Dub. He was just a good person to be around. Never a bad moment with Dub at all. He would be missed for sure.
Is that something that you can kind of go forward and kind of say, every day you never know, so let's take advantage of it, and I'm going to do all I can?
Yeah, for sure, because his death was unexpected, so I just live life to the fullest. I don't really have any regrets, but I just don't really get mad at stuff like I used to. I just changed my way since Doug's been gone because things ain't really been the same since he left.
Let's kind of end on more of a positive note and talk a little bit. If we do get a basketball season and a CSA season, the CSA this year is just loaded.
Yeah.
Every single game, every single team has two or three guys at least. What are you kind of, how exciting is it to have that sort of a schedule?
It's exciting because not that many conferences are loaded like ours, so it just gives, let's say, KJ Debrick has D1, I got D1, James has D1, so it's not just us, it's like an opportunity for the whole conference, because let's say they come and watch me, but one of my other teammates show out, or one of the other team members show out, it's just a whole opportunity for the whole conference as one, so.
Let's hope we get to play, man.
Man.
That was RJ Walker for Live Rewind. Thanks for listening.